everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to still talk about episode 100 because, man, they just threw some nonsense in here that we had to assign. Look, I know we're the podcast that doesn't just go longer than the episode. We go like four times longer than the episode, but it's not our fault. I'm joined as always by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Me Pay team.
Hello. If anything, think about it this way. You're getting three times as much entertainment from a show that's like negative percentage entertaining. So who's the real winner here?
Is that good?
I mean, it's good.
Do we want to do that?
Listen, it's good for everybody who's listening to it. It's not good for us who has to watch and discuss the episodes. It's good for everybody who gets to like reap the benefit of it. It's not good for us specifically.
Yeah, so last time we left off with Margaret getting word that more murders have happened at the camp, and having the most baffling response to this information, which is, oh, hell yeah, people are going to investigate the place where I did all my murders again. This is good news. And decides that, like, she wants to do a concert to promote the camp. So is the camp still, like, going? Because it feels like they stopped, right? But then she's still trying to, like, leverage value out of the property.
Yeah. Margaret. That's what's really weird is because, like, they imply that she still owns it. Because, like, Courtney's like, oh, we're going to be liable because someone died there. But, like, she's definitely made it clear that, like, her whole business model is taking places that have had like a calamity happen at them and then making them into an amusement park. You'd think that this would have been ground zero for that endeavor. You think that that would have been like the first one she did because she A, already owned it, and B, like she has intimate knowledge of like all of the details that would be necessary to make a fictionalized version of the experience.
Yeah.
Right.
It's weird.
Also, that whole thing, the whole thing of like people calling in and being like, hey, that's pretty fucking tasteless to like recreate this hotel where someone did murders and like set up a room to be like, whoa, imagine getting murdered here. like that's in poor taste. At least with the camp, Margaret could be like, I'm working through some stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, for whatever reason. And it seems like they are actively there because the birdwatcher and his girlfriend who get killed, like, they have a tent set up. So either they're trespassing on this or I kind of felt like they had a permit to be there somehow, right? Like, they don't seem like the kind of people who would just do that.
Like,
but
the Dennis or whatever his name was, Dustin Dennis, whoever the birdwatcher guy was, like, when he's like trying not to be horny and have a boner about Montana, he's like, let me talk about my birds for 30 seconds of the television show. And like, while he's yapping about that, he's like, I'm not here for the camp. I'm here because a blue-footed booby or something. It only comes through this area when they're like getting ready to migrate or some shit. So I like they full wholesale it like that he and his girlfriend, who's allegedly in the woods at the current time of this occurrence, are explicitly just there because of a bird, a specific bird, which means he wasted his film on that cabin for kind of no reason. I think like they had him take a picture of the cabin to like indicate that like, oh, didn't know this was here, which kind of just makes him stupid. Also.
Right.
What a coincidence that they ended up here at this camp to take a picture of the blue-footed booby or whatever. And they brought a newspaper about the girl who allegedly killed all the people at this camp to the camp that they're not there for the camp for. What a wild coincidence.
What is life if not a series of coincidences, right?
That's what they say in the writer's room of American Horror Story.
That's on a whiteboard.
Tell me you both haven't camped a lot without telling me you've been camped a lot. Everyone knows you wake up, roll out of your tent, and you get the newspaper that the mailman delivered there this morning. Like, obviously.
And then you take it. You keep it because you're the only one there. So you're the camp king for the day. Yeah, I know. I know a thing or two
I
about camping.
I control the news.
Oh, my God. That's sorry. I didn't get to talk about it in our first episode about this episode when what's his face was like, oh, I'm so horny for Montana, but I can't because the birds or whatever. Before he straight up like says no to like having sex with Montana, he like beats around the bush until eventually he says, my girlfriend's in the woods. And at the point in time that happened, I'm like, the fuck you mean my girlfriend's in the woods? Like, that implies either like you left her there or like she's just out there wandering around. Like, that's either a lie or you're like the worst boyfriend in history that you've just like,
sorry,
left
Montana,
your girlfriend in the woods.
My only love is the my only love is the Sasquatch, and I'm still hunting. I have no time to fuck. I gotta find the Squatch.
He meant it in like an optimistic way. He was manifesting. He's like, my girlfriend's out there in the woods somewhere. I just gotta go find her. Oh my god. But the thing is, it's like fucked up about it is that like he's right, because later when like Montana and Xavier are rummaging through their stuff, like their stuff is like right there where the guy died. So like she is in fact just in the woods. Like, she doesn't have a camera or anything. She's just out there, which I mean, like, I guess you could like become one with nature, but the newspaper means that they know about what happened here now.
They're about to read about it until they got killed, I guess, right? Like, then
no.
That's the bitter irony. So close.
Again, what is life if not a series of coincidences? Oh, they were so close to making it out. Yeah. It's also, like, did they do a sweep, you think, to, like, get rid of all the traps in the woods? Do you think, like, a team came in and, like, filled in the Punji pit and like snapped all the bear traps and like did all that? Or do you think that there's just been like hikers getting owned every so often as they go
and
through
actually,
the woods?
I almost feel like too, you would definitely want to like foist this like campground on a buyer like Margaret, right? Where it's like, you fucking have it. Like, you know, I don't even know if I got all the Punji pits out of it, but yeah, sure, take it, you know.
There might be an Ewok trap somewhere. We don't know, and I'm not right. gonna go look, so good luck.
That's part of the seller's disclosure, that there might be like some Ewok traps here on it. Yep, okay. Well, that's squared away then. There you have it.
Oh my god. Yeah. So that was my issue with the girlfriend and the newspaper situation. But yeah, I really don't understand. We talked about in our last episode how like they've conflated like real estate agent, which is what they have presented Margaret as, and person who makes amusement like destinations. That's two different jobs. Those are two different things
and aren't the same. Soon runs concerts.
Yeah.
Which also, running a concert, not the same as being a real estate developer.
Like, I guess you could probably, like, I don't know about in the 70s or 80s or 90s or whatever, but, like, you could say that, like, oh, there probably are big, like, huge entertainment conglomerates that probably do, like, have all these resorts and then also host their own, like, concerts and stuff, but like in the 80s, probably not. Like, I don't think we had groups doing that yet. And also it's not one lady
to do a, yeah, and also not like doing a festival in the middle of the goddamn woods to the point that it's like a notable drive out from society, right? To the point
that they're
like, it'd be really bad if someone got hurt here because there's no medical available, which is like the worst place to have a festival. Jesus Christ. That's such a bad idea.
That's another thing is like, we obviously, like, it doesn't happen this episode because we're talking about the last 15 minutes of this episode, so it doesn't happen yet, but like the idea that they're gonna have like this festival concert and like, uh-oh, it could be dangerous because somebody died there, and obviously we know there's a bunch of murderous ghosts there, they're gonna do the thing I'm pretty sure that like a lot of media does, where it's like, oh yeah, festivals are just like, you show up and also there are bands and there's no structure whatsoever. There's no staff. There's no like medical teams. There's no like security. It's just a band gets on a stage and then you walk up to it and then that's it. And there's no, like, you can do whatever you want. There's no rules. You can camp anywhere. That which is, again, wasn't alive in the 80s. I don't know, but like, I don't think that's how we were doing it even back then. I think there'd be like at least
Woodstock
a nurse.
Already happened.
Yeah, we'd have a nurse, I think.
Yeah, Woodstock already happened, which means we already had like plans in place of like how a festival should be like run correctly,
right.
And also we've seen how disastrously it can go bad and have like already learned lessons from this. Like this is way late to have it just be like, I don't know, have a band, have Metallica go on stage. Yeah, everyone can just do whatever.
I just need a couple speakers. Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
They are going to name drop a really like big band later, and I don't remember who it is, but Richard Ramirez gets really like butthurt about it, and I don't remember which one it is.
Was it Black Sabbath?
I think so. I think it's Black Sabbath, because he's like, Black Sabbath shouldn't play at this festival. Ooh, that really steams me. Like, he gets like so mad about it. It's really... Twice in this episode, Richard Ramirez, like... becomes that one meme reaction of like the kid like stressing out so bad that he has like the veins coming out of his face, like that kid in the hoodie. Mm-hmm. Twice he does that in this episode, and both times it's like really weird for him to do it. One is when Brooke is like, Montana is in hell with Satan, and he's like, oh, it should be me licking Satan's balls, and he's like so mad about it. And then the other one, and I'm not making that up, that's not me doing like a joke, like that's what she said. She says Montana's in hell licking Satan's balls. And he's like, ooh, I wish it was me.
So lucky.
And I'm like, okay, well, all right. It's first it was feet, now it's Satan's balls.
Wasn't the expression, it's better to reign in hell and serve in heaven, and not like it's better to serve in heaven than like lick Satan's balls in hell or something? I don't know if Milton got this straight, so yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm not kink shaming. Like, if you want to lick Satan's balls, like, whatever, dude. Like, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
Like, it's not for everybody,
yeah,
but if that's your thing,
balls,
whatever.
Like, call me.
Yeah.
I'm not kink shaming anybody. Like, you're allowed to. But Richard Ramirez is being like, hey, listen, if I had balls and I was into having them licked, if the person who, like, was going to do it showed that level of, like, strange enthusiasm, I think I'd be like, you know what? Not you. Not you, though.
You know,
like,
we can make
anybody but you.
The scheming vizier. You don't want your advisor to be like, yes, sir, of course.
We can make the balls red if that's the issue. It doesn't have to be Satan specifically. I mean, you know, we have methods.
Like, I feel like it's like a situation like when you're training a dog. Like, even if you're training a dog to do like a funny trick or something, if they get too excited, they're a dog. They might bite you. So, like, I don't want to risk that. I don't want to like be rolling those dice with my balls. You know what I mean?
This is the king of digressions.
Sorry, I just keep thinking about the weird characterization they keep giving Richard Ramirez, where he's into toes, he's into balls. Like, it's a huge thing.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Something beautiful about being into balls. Well, anyway, so... they find out that Margaret, the Ghost Brigade, by the way, like all the people who were murdered in the first part of this show, they're all hanging out. They read the newspaper, and Chet immediately pops off and is like, I gotta kill Margaret right away, which, like, honestly, pretty reasonable at this point. Like, that's, like, one of the more reasonable and level-handed things I think anyone said is just, like, I think the serial killer who looks like they're gonna do it again, we should probably kill her. And then Montana's like, wait. No, give it a second. And he gives this very, like... confusing kind of melodramatic line of just being like, you don't know how much it hurts to be drowning, your entire body every cell screaming for oxygen, which sure, man, Montana was stabbed to death by Brooke. Like, you don't get to be like, you went peacefully in your sleep surrounded by loved ones. Like, no, they didn't.
Oh, my God. Chet is also, like, I'm not going to spoil it, but I know a weird characterization thing they do about Chet later in the season. It's weird that they've decided, it's like halfway through, they were like, we need these characters to be new characters. We need a new cast of characters. others, but we've already committed to these. So, like, we're just going to change, like, who they are. The most realistic one is Montana, who's like, oh, well, now I can kill people for freezies, and it's fine. Because, like, yeah, when she was alive, like, she kind of hemmed and hawed about being like, oh, I have to get someone else to kill Brooke for me because, like, I'm into some weird shit, but, like, I don't think I've got it in me. To murder somebody myself. But then they had her, like, as soon as she died, be like, I love murdering, and murdering is my favorite thing to do. Which is, like, okay. But, like, at the same time, if anybody was going to be like that, I guess Montana would be probably the biggest candidate. Also, I'm now realizing, fucked up that Richard Ramirez didn't offer the Satan, like, Phoenix down to Montana, who is, A, his girlfriend, and B, probably the person the most likely to accept it and be super into killing people for Satan.
Weird that he didn't do that. It's not like he can astrally project or, like, telepathically communicate with her and listen to anything. Oh, well, hold on. Let me get my notes here. Oh, never mind.
He was driving and singing fun songs with his new best friend, Mr. Jingles. Look, he's only a man. He is having so much fun. He forgot. Happens to the best of us. Mm. You meet a new big guy. You start singing your favorite songs together as you drive down the road, and you forget about your girlfriend who's getting stabbed to death in the woods.
It happened. You know what? Like, I was going to play off of that and make more funny buddy cop jokes about them stealing a cop car and, like, driving away into the sunset. It is actually, now that I'm thinking about it on face value, quite odd that Richard Ramirez's, like, first idea, I don't even really know what this was prompted by, after getting revived by Satan from the impalement of his head, which Mr. Jingles did to him, was, I should go find Mr. Jingles and see if he wants to steal a cop car with me. I think that would be fun. I think it would be fun to steal a cop car and revive Mr. Jingles. Like, I know he got shot with 45 bullets and 7 arrows. And I think at one point also got stabbed. No, I stabbed him. Yeah. I stabbed him. He's probably down, right? Like, I think he'd probably be down to go on a little adventure with me. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, I asked him if he wanted to be friends with my boss under the literal threat of death, because if he didn't accept, he would die. What is there a term for this? Duress? That usually means it counts, right?
Yeah.
if someone agrees to something under duress, that means it counts more?
Yeah, that means the contract is extra tight. Yeah.
Super enforceable. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when you're a serial killer and or ghost and or both. Satan also famously loves contracts. We've learned he's real into, like, into lawyers, it turns out. Chet's like, oof, owie, I got drowned. And I'm like, Ray got beheaded while on a motorcycle. That feels worse, in my humble opinion.
I mean, it's, like, more embarrassing. It probably hurt less, all told. But it is kind of like, damn, man, you got hit by, like, video game trap. That's crazy. That's like, that's what happened.
Yeah, so it's on the news. It's on the news, but, like, it's not, I don't remember if it's, like, on the news for the concert or on the news for, like, the murder that just happened. But Mr. Jingles, who I will remind you lives in Alaska now and works at Knotbuster, the video rental establishment, is eating a TV dinner with his prostitute wife, Lorraine, I think is her name. They picked, like, the most 80s name could come up with, I guess. And that comes up on the news, and she's like, oh no, that's gonna make you sad. And he's like, no, I feel okay. I'm over it. It's good. I'm free. And I'm like, damn, seems like this whole, like, make a deal with Satan thing is, like, not a real binding contract, it turns out. I guess since someone made it on your behalf, you probably aren't beholden to it. I think Satan's maybe just not a dick. Satan's like, you didn't ask for this. Someone did it to you. Like, he's like Pinhead. He's like, you opened the box under duress. I'm not going to fuck with you.
Sorry, man. Like, I just give Richard Ramirez powers and let him run around because I think it's funny as fuck. It's not your fault that he picked you up, man. Sorry. you can meet a nice lady who's like shockingly accepting of your whole shit to the point of, yeah, sees a video of like the camp that you allegedly killed people at and is just like, oh, sorry, I didn't know that would come up, and just being like, it's okay, I love you, baby. Like, it's so funny that Mr. Jingles has the best character. It's character growth, but it's not an arc. It just did happen.
Yeah.
It just occurred at one point. Yeah. More of a character inflection point like, than an arc, but kind of
like a triangle wave, you know? It just goes there. There's no like arc.
Also, he's like, I'm free, I don't care at all. And the implication is that he's not lying. And then as they're sitting there, I'm like, wouldn't you of all people like have a vested interest in making sure Margaret got arrested? Like, you couldn't like leave a note at the police station, since like you're not too terribly worried about getting caught, obviously, because you just like moved to Alaska and started a new life, where you're actively telling people, i.e. your wife, that you were Mr. Jingles. You couldn't like have your wife drop an anonymous tip or something and be like, hey, that like little lady you're about to execute, she definitely didn't do all those murders. It was Margaret, and it's really, really easy to show that Margaret did it. And if you asked Brooke, which I feel like you guys didn't for some reason, but if you were to ask Brooke, I think she would also tell you that Margaret did most of the things that happened at the camp.
Right.
Like, he threw Ramirez under the bus, like, on a whim. Like, he was like, you know what? I'm sick of this guy. He makes fun of my tab. I'm selling him out to the police.
Yeah, this guy sucks, but yeah, exactly. Like, that's it. That's all he needs.
Do you think that's what Richard Ramirez, like, thinks it's about? He's just like, damn, he must have really liked that soda.
Maybe I should get into tab. Damn.
Yeah. Satan, should that, was it a good soda?
Last meal. Tab, please. Just one can of tab.
Satan, honestly, am I off base? Doesn't tab suck? Dark Lord? Satan?
Satan's literally drinking a tab as he's asking the question.
You fucked up. My favorite brand. I got stock in this, buddy.
I wish that's how it worked. I wish the show was funnier, because that would be like a funnier bit. But alas, it's not. Also, there's probably some kind of marketing thing where Tab's like, no, you can't, or Coke, who probably owns Tab, is like, you can't tell anybody that Satan endorses us. That's bad.
Richard Ramirez has to endorse Tab if we're going to allow this contract to go. You got me?
It's like one of those things. I don't remember exactly what the actual thing is, but there's some rule that one of like the major companies have. I'm pretty sure it's Apple for iPhones. Like, if an iPhone appears in a movie, like, it can't be used for anything illegal, and like, it can't be used for anything bad. It's like that.
And then like, Coke's probably like, well, who the hell's going to endorse it? Some made up serial killer. And it's like, Richard Ramirez drinks Tab on American Horror Story.
They're like, does this count as a celebrity endorsement? Do we have to pay more for this if it's the fake version of a real guy? Anyway, it's time for Brooke to get executed, kind of, sort of. Someone is visiting Richard Ramirez in jail, and the show pretends like they're not using a real person, but it is. It is a real lady. Yeah. It's a real woman who did marry Richard Ramirez, who he called Red.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up.
Regrettably, yeah, people who have mental issues and convince themselves they're in love with a serial killer and all of that is like, it's a thing that happens more often than you'd like. So it's not, yeah, it's not exactly like surprising that they'd reference this, but yeah, this is very much a real thing.
Yeah, what they're going to present her as is like, oh, this hot lady who just thinks Richard Ramirez is super cool and doesn't care that he's a serial killer is like going to do stuff for him outside of jail because like she loves him that much, which is like really fucked up. Like, they even objectify her by having her like, she shows up in like a skimpy outfit and then she sits down And he, like, makes a hand gesture for her to stand up and then, like, squeeze her boobs together for him. And I'm like, that's an activity you could have done sitting down. I don't know why he made you stand up for that. That was fucked up.
I feel like the prison guards would be like, sir, you can't tell the person guessing. You can't tell the person talking to you to put him on the glass.
Right.
That's not acceptable.
Yeah. Or at least be more like discreet about it. Like, don't make a whole deal of it like this.
Right. Also, let's keep it consistent. He liked feet. You know, it can't be everything. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Exactly. You pick one.
Put him on the glass and she takes her shoes off.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Yeah. I would have had more respect for the show if they had done that. If they had had him do that hand signal and then she slipped her shoes off and put her feet up on the glass, I would have had way more respect for the show.
Right, right. But.
Yeah, they play her as this hot piece of ass who Richard Ramirez pulled somehow. Whereas in reality, it was a lady who genuinely believed Richard Ramirez did not do any of the murders and was deeply mentally ill. And also she didn't help him with anything. I cannot overstate that for her benefit, that the show is implying that she is an accomplice to his crimes and she is a victim, if anything. She is a complete and total victim who was brainwashed by Richard Ramirez, who did not, and I cannot emphasize enough, did not do anything illegal on his behalf. She was just a mentally ill woman who married Richard Ramirez and was convinced he didn't do anything wrong.
When you really break it down, the show gets more fucked up by the minute. I feel like we do this every season where it's that was really messed up that they did that. But it's a new thing every time. What a reprehensible show.
It makes me, this is, the Richard Ramirez thing is bad enough, right? But one particularly rubbed me a really icky way. Because like I said, A, it was a mentally ill woman who was obviously another one of his victims. Mm-hmm. Even if she thought she was having a happy life with him or whatever. That in and of itself is fucked up. But the part where they make it so vague, they don't give her a name. And they keep her very vague. They don't show how they met or anything. So there's plausible deniability that they're not referring to that woman. But then they have him call her Red and they give her bright red hair, which is what the real woman had, which is okay, so we know you're doing that. You're doing that on purpose. There's no way you're not referencing that woman.
It's also if you're fucking around with a serial killer's image, it's gross because of the victims, right? And it's if you make the serial killer do something fucked up or gross or weird or whatever, it's okay, whatever, man. It's not we held him in high regard or whatever. But this is taking a victim and being no, she did it. Which is
she helped.
That's not okay.
Yeah, being
She actually thought it was cool.
Yeah, retroactively being no, she actually did believe he did stuff. She was just cool with it. The prostitute lady with Mr. Jingles, except for, I guess they make her extra slutty because they're slutty women love serial killers, that's just how life is. And if you're slutty, the only person who will love you is a serial killer. Very cool moral for more American Horror Story to be promoting. But it's so fucked up because she didn't do anything wrong technically. She genuinely was so mentally ill that she believed him when he said, yeah, I didn't do it. So here's what happened. She saw him on TV, and because she was mentally ill, she saw his mugshot and was like, that's my future husband, because she's mentally ill. And then she started writing him letters and was like, I saw you on TV. I don't think you did those murders. And he's like, oh, this person's mentally ill. I'm gonna take advantage of her. And was like, I didn't do those murders. And she's like, that makes sense, checks out, he didn't do those murders. And so she genuinely believed he did not do any murders, and that was their whole relationship. And fucked up for Richard Ramirez to do that. He wasn't a good person, turns out. Who could have guessed? Who could have guessed real life serial killer Richard Ramirez was a bad man in real life? But American Horror Story thinks it's a funny bit to be like, what if Richard Ramirez got bitches? What if he had bitches who were willing to press their boobs together? That's also another thing, is they can't make this. I don't know if I don't think they're doing it in a positive way, just like the foot fetish thing. Like, I don't think they're doing it like, haha, we're going to make fun of Richard Ramirez. I think they just like were like, what would the most evil man have a fetish for? Oh, feet, obviously. But they can't make him have a single sexual encounter that's not really fucking weird. Because, like, I know you're in prison or whatever, but, like, stand up so you can push your boobs together? Like, is it that dire? Is it that bad in there, Richard Ramirez? Like, come on, man. We're on, like, show me some ankle levels of desperation. If, like, pressing your boobs together is like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to be thinking about that for weeks. Right. Real, like, Puritan shit from Richard Ramirez, the Satan guy. So, in case you're wondering why the redheaded lady is there, she's like, guess what? They're going to do a cool concert at the place that, like, you got killed, I guess, and you were there. I'm going to... Oh, Billy Idol. Billy Idol's the one that he gets mad about. She's like, Billy Idol's going to be there, and he's like... Like, he gets so mad.
Yeah. Like, to be clear, what he gets mad at, and this is something that if you've ever gone to a music festival, or fuck, if you've ever looked at the poster for a music festival, you know this is a fucking crazy thing to be mad at. He's mad that Billy Idol is playing, but then also some bands that he does not respect as much are also at the festival. Which, like, yeah, man! That's what a festival is. They have like 100 fucking bands there. You don't got to see them all. That's like the fun. Sometimes they have multiple stages going at the same time. So you do have to make a choice, you know, like
it's crazy. God. He doesn't know that because they keep trying to like push him as like this like arbiter of like rock and roll and metal and stuff where it's like, no, man, Richard Ramirez is all about the music, which is strange. And then, you know, also like, how does he not know that that works that way? Like, what music was he listening to? Like, what are we doing here? But
it also frames this next sequence of events is very funny because like it would, she clearly like brought the flyer and like brought it up because she knew he had a connection to Camp Redwood and it was like an important point in his life that something happened there that was very important to him. But the way that he starts like tweaking the fuck out about Billy Idol having to perform with other people there makes it seem like this next sequence of events is exclusively him defending Billy Idol's honor and that like the rest of this is simply him defending Billy Idol's honor as like the Billy Idol number one super fan, which is really, really funny because like he goes on like a little mini rant about like, oh, it's in 1989, so the decade is gonna be ending soon, and then like Billy Idol's gonna get forgotten, that means I'm gonna get forgotten, and I'm like, you're a serial killer, like you've already done the thing that makes people not forget you, like,
oh,
why?
Also, he's like functionally immortal, right? Like he can't die, like literally, I guess, you know, like from the show, but he's still like, I'm gonna be forgotten, like I don't know, you know, magic, but okay.
Also, Satan seems to commune with you specifically directly and on a pretty regular basis. That seems kind of important to me.
I think you could have given him a heads up about Jingle selling him out to that gang or those ladies or whatever, but, you know,
thinks
whatever.
It's funny.
Yeah, that gang of the community.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot, right. Yeah.
That gang of an old woman and, like, three other women and then a dude. It's really funny. I don't think we talked about, like, they recreate the scene that happened in real life of Richard Ramirez getting his ass beat by a whole neighborhood of people. Which is really funny, and I'm glad that it happened to him in real life, and I'm not afraid to say it. I think it's really funny and good that it happened.
It could only have been better if the Benny Hill music were playing over it while it was happening.
They might have fucking as well had the Benny Hill music playing in the sequence of the television show, because they have him, like, running down the street, being chased by a mob of people who are all hooting and hollering. He's trying car doors, trying to get into a car door. He's being chased at, like, probably a 10 to 20 foot like distance, like the mob is not doing a very good job of keeping up with him for the sake of the TV show, because they want this chase sequence. And then like I would say like a quarter of the way through the chase, halfway through the chase, people just start pouring out of their houses to also start chasing him, and I'm like, that's so fucking funny to think about, like, as if that was actually happening. Like, imagine you, like, look out your window and you see this kind of stinky looking guy there, like, being chased down the road. You don't know who it is, but you see some guy getting chased down the road by like 12 to 15 people and you're like, I gotta get in on this.
Well, you
and
know
you grab
funny?
A crowbar.
Like, this was like mocked in like a Vine video or something, or there's like a video where like an Amber Alert goes off and all these guys are like, oh shit, come on everybody, and they like kind of pile in a car to go like save somebody. And it's like, it's really funny if you haven't seen it, for the record, but like that's what they're doing here, but like literally, like just at its face, like, yep, this whole community is like, serial killer in my neighborhood, I'm gonna go kick his ass. Like, that doesn't happen. You know what
I
mean?
This is how Nextdoor worked before we had Nextdoor, before we had cell phones and Nextdoor. Like, people just looked out their windows and waited for something to happen. And then when they saw a bunch of people running down the street, they're like, I got to get in on this.
Oh,
let me in there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, finally.
Summer of Sham wasn't about planning a big beatdown, you know? Like,
but what if it was? What if it was Slow Beef?
If
oh,
only.
My God. So he's
so
mad.
Stupid little child Richard Ramirez is mad that he's going to be forgotten, despite the fact that no, he's not. And also, he's sad that he's not immortal, which, yes, he is. So, idiot. Absolute idiot. Dumbest motherfucker alive. And then we cut to a prison guard nearby, where we need a scene to explain that a man might use the toilet.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It's just a scene of a prison guard, like, shoving a hamburger into his mouth as fast as possible. And a senior officer's like, oh, haven't you heard that you shouldn't eat prison chow? Ha, 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 ha. Again, this is literally just so a guard uses the shitter later. I'm not kidding you. They like, they were like, Metal Gear Solid is too is too subtle. We need to like be like, this guy has diarrhea for a reason.
We wouldn't just imply
that, like,
they
explain,
could have diarrhea.
Are you going to explain Johnny Sasaki or not? You know, like, how did he do it? Was it a burrito? Was it a taco? Was he just sick?
Does he just, is he an IBS warrior? Do they not take out IBS during the gene therapy?
But like, what's crazy about this too, it's like, they're like, you can't eat that prison food. Like, why is he though? They don't have like a staff cafeteria or something, or, you know, like, I don't know. And then he scarfed the burger, and like, and then it's time for the execution. She gets her last meal, and the priest is like, you want last rites to make peace with God? She's like, fuck that guy. And then Ramirez like is like, last chance for, you know, Satan time. And she like flips him off, you know.
Is
and,
it last chance for Satan time? Because like, his head was impaled for like a while before he got revived, and Mr. Jingles was dead for like a not insignificant amount of time before he got revived. So, like, do you think Satan puts, like, a hold on people? Like, he calls dibs on people where he's like, no, 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 campground. You can't make those people ghosts yet. I want them. I have to get Richard Ramirez to come revive them because I want them on my team. Let me at least extend an offer first before you make them a ghost. And then the ones he doesn't want, he's like, yeah, they can be a ghost immediately. I don't give a shit. It's fine. Just become a ghost. I don't give a shit.
I don't know. Satan doesn't seem to be very discriminating, to be honest, in this. So, like, just, yeah, it's fine. Richard Ramirez, I'll take him. You can be my emissary. Whatever.
I think he's funny.
Yeah, so after Brooke gives him the finger and kind of walks past and is like, God, I don't want to have anything with him, and then starts walking to her execution, Richard Ramirez has a little pentagram on the ground in his cell. I guess. And it's like a lot of blood. It bugs me how much blood they use when they make pentagrams and stuff. It's like grievous harm levels of blood loss. Like, I'm talking like this MF-er was painting using at least 3/4 of a pint. Like, you can't be doing that all the time. you can't just be like dropping pints of blood on the ground every time you need to call your dad. Like, that's crazy. And he's got a flyer inside the pentagram, and he does a little Satan spell where he's just like, Satan, I need you to smoke some guy out. And Satan turns into a mysterious black smoke that then travels through the vents into a guy who's taking a shit, because thank God they set up that a guard would take a shit. And he's struggling to take a shit, which they set up in the first act, if you were paying attention, viewer.
Is there any reason, are there not vents in the place where he was eating the burger? Could Satan have not just come through there? Did Satan need to find him shitting? Like, is that when you're at your weakest and most susceptible to Satan entering your body?
That's actually why you need, like, the Eucharist and stuff, because when God's grace comes through your diarrhea and stuff, you know, so you're like, oh, I need to re-up at communion next week. That's how it works, I think.
Satan knows you're at your weakest point spiritually when you're shitting.
So you gotta to be fair. If Satan's like, open your heart to me now, I'm like, yeah, right, I'm in the middle of something. It's fine, whatever.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've definitely had some, like, stomach bugs where, like, on the toilet, I'm like, I'd make a deal with Satan to make this stop, certainly. Yeah, I would definitely accept the deal.
Like, my wife will be like, why'd you let our son have 3 Cokes today? And I'll be like, I was in the bathroom. He was asking me. I could have said yes to anything. Okay. I think I also accepted a Satan contract. All right. It's not my fault. We established earlier. Remember, I was eating the burger from the prisoners. Remember that, honey? You know, so.
Oh, my God.
And so the smoke starts floating down gently to the man taking a big shit as we cut. We do the annoying thing where American Horror Story cuts back and forth between an event happening at the same time, where, like, most places do it to present like some kind of, like, cinematic parallel or something, right?
Like tension,
kind of
like, right? Like
compare and contrast the two situations and be like, isn't it fucked up how a person being executed is exactly the same as a guy taking a big shit?
My thing that I'm annoyed with is that they do the thing that a lot of movies and such do, I feel like, to try to draw tension, like, okay, I guess this is how Brooke is going to get saved somehow via the Satan lost monster smoke thing. But in the actuality, it's two separate events. It's like, aha, we tricked you. And it's like, it's not clever. It's annoying. But they do that. So, yeah. And it's
I didn't think they were connected, actually, until you implied they were. To the writers. Yeah. Like, it's crazy that they're just like, you thought these two things were going to be connected. Like, no, I didn't.
In fact, I was sitting here thinking, there's no way they're going to connect these, right? Because there's no way a guard taking a shit's going to have anything to do with the execution.
I was thinking, they were going to have some Rube Goldberg thing happening where just in the nick of time, like, the guard comes in and shoots people because he's possessed of Satan or some crap. But it's much stupider, and it is not connected, and it's much less.
That's way more generous than I thought what was going to happen. I thought what was going to happen was that the smoke was going to, like, enter the execution room and then, like, fill up the, like, tubes they're using that are on the wall that are, like, injecting her. And then she was going to get, like, the straight Satan juice inside of her, which is, like, kind of fucked up if you think about it, because she very clearly said, I don't want Satan's help, like, 6 times.
Right, yeah.
But it's fucking American Horror Story. So who gives a shit, right? Yeah. And then I was like, and then I guess we'll also see where the guard pooping comes in, as well as that thing that I just said I thought would happen. We'll see where the guard shitting comes in also. Yeah, also another weird thing is they have Margaret and Trevor show up to, like, watch Brooke's execution, which, like, I'm sure that they did get, like, notified by the police to be like, hey, the lady who tried to kill you is, like, here and getting executed. Do you want to be there? But my thing is, like, why would Margaret want to be there? She doesn't have any, like, beef with Brooke. She truly doesn't.
Right.
I don't even think Brooke knows Margaret did the murders because, like, she was busy with Montana. So she doesn't know that Margaret killed, like, Chet or Xavier. Like, she doesn't know that. So, like, Margaret has no reason to be beefing with Brooke.
The craziest thing is that we could have established something, like, all of her times in prison, all her time in prison, she figured it out by who else died and who would have been there, like some establishing shot of maybe a little red line photos thing. We could have established that, but instead we established the diarrhea. That's what we spent our time on, you know?
Yeah, because going back to what I said about, hey, did you guys even, like, ask Brooke if she did it or, like, if she knows what happened? At some point, I would think during the several years of trial that she went through, because she got, like, slapped with their murders as part of her, like, whole deal, she was getting informed for the first time that Chet was dead, and also, like, Xavier. Like, she didn't know Xavier and Chet were dead until she, I'm sure, was informed of it, like, at her trial or by a lawyer. So you think that that would come up being like, wait, Chet and Xavier are dead? I didn't even know that happened. Like, that would probably be, like, a thing that would come up. Yeah, they think that she put Chet in the lake and tied an anchor to his leg, and also beheaded Ray with an axe, and also shot Xavier, or stabbed Xavier. I don't even remember. I think Xavier got stabbed. And shot Trevor with Margaret's gun. You know, all the things that Brooke definitely did. Anyway, Brooke's getting executed. They did that. And again, I know this is like a dumb nitpick, but like, it's so easily Googleable. I don't know why you wouldn't Google it. San Quentin didn't do lethal injection until the late 90s. So like, this wouldn't be happening, period. She would be getting a gas chamber execution, which, hey, I'm just floating this, would have made more sense with, like, the smoke thing that they're doing, the weird Satan smoke thing that they're doing, because they're thematically relevant to each other.
Except, right, except they're not here, so it's like the opposite. It's like Chekhov also had a gun, by the way, you know, yeah. Like that's...
Well, I mean, as a misdirection, because they would all be mean. Like, the smoke's going to come through the gas, and we're going to be like, oh, he's going to save her anyway, and then it turns out, no, he's just going to save that dude who's shitting.
Gotcha.
The idea of Chekhov's gun versus, oh yeah, by the way, Chekhov had a gun is so fucking funny. You're so right. Like, so much of this show is just like, oh yeah, by the way, in case you cared, Chekhov had a gun. Insane narrative structure. Holy shit. As the execution is taking place and Brooke is getting her injection, we see the smoke roll into the turlet, and the guard then starts having a seizure and then stops having a seizure and opens his eyes, and oh no, his eyes are solid black. Oh, he's been taken over by Satan, I guess, which had to happen on the toilet. And as the right before the injection happens, Brooke kind of looks out at the one-way glass and just says, oh, by the way, Margaret, I know you're here and I know you're watching. I didn't do anything. Fuck you. I hope you die. And it's, again, as we were saying earlier, Brooke doesn't know that. Brooke doesn't know any of that shit. For all Brooke knows, Margaret was a weird lady who was also harangued by Mr. Jingles.
Yeah, and also, like, for all she knows, because she didn't know Chet and Xavier were dead, Mr. Jingles also managed to kill those people as well. Like, she genuinely, I don't think, would have... The only thing I could think of is, like, with Xavier, she'd have no way of knowing. She'd have no way of knowing Xavier went to save Margaret in a weird fit of mania, and then after saving her, she stabbed him. She would have no way of guessing that. But, like, Chet did get pushed off a boat, and the last time she did see Chet, he was getting on a boat with Margaret. So, like, you could maybe...
Okay.
Maybe, but, put, like, those two things
again,
together.
Just spend a little, like, a minute establishing that, rather than, like, this guy straining on a toilet. I'm just saying, like, it's better use of screen time. But, like, and by the way, can I, one other detail, which I think is in a separate bullet point already, but, like, there's, like, this masked doctor who's administering the execution, which, like, that's not how that works, A. But also, like, and I get they're trying to hide someone's identity for a little twist that's coming up later, but, like, get the fuck out of here. It's, like, practically this plague doctor setup with, like, a gas mask and, like eyewear and all that. It's, like, no, nobody's that disguised when they do it, but...
Yeah, I want to say, like, I could just be fully talking out of my ass here, but, like, I want to say there's actually, like, things in place regarding, like, executions, and maybe this wasn't a thing in the 80s or something, But, like, I vaguely recall, like, there are, like, certain things about, like, people who, like, do executions where, like, you can't have your face covered because, like, it's, like, disrespectful to the person you're executing to be, like, a coward about it or whatever. Maybe I'm thinking of something that happened, like, a long time ago. But, like, I'm pretty sure not covering the executioner's face now in, like, current day is, like, a thing.
Yeah, because I think, like, back in the day, they would have, like, those, like, black hoods and stuff, so you, like, when they go to cut somebody's head off, but I'm pretty sure that's frowned upon nowadays, you know? But
yeah, like, they don't, like, go out of their way to make, like, your last day super cool, like, if you are on death row, but, like, they do, like, have, like, a few things that are considered to be, like, last rites, like, the things that you are allowed to have on your last day before they execute you, and you have some protections.
Yeah, just Googling it now, it's like you're not in the same room even, really, yeah. You know, like you're not just there with like a big, like, I don't know, mosaic over your face or something, you know, but.
Because anyway. Can you imagine getting executed and the person who comes in to do it is dressed as a fucking plague doctor? I'd be like, oh, no, thank you.
And actually, you know what they do, which I forgot, I knew this was electric chairs, but with lethal injections too, what they actually do in real life, which also complicates what's going to happen, you get, like, two or three switches, and only one of them is active, and the idea is it kind of removes individual responsibility, so, like, multiple people push a button, but only one works at a time.
Yeah, it's like the firing squad. Like, the firing squad is so nobody knows who's the person who actually killed the guy who's getting executed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know exactly, because I don't spend, like, a lot of time looking it up, but, like, this show makes me do it, unfortunately. They would not let a rant. Also, hey, here's maybe the biggest reason they wouldn't do it. What fucking happens at the end of the episode? That would probably be the biggest reason why they don't let the people cover their face.
Yeah.
And meanwhile.
Yeah. In case Solid Snake gets in and is the executioner and somehow no one's done. Agent 47, great work. Move to an exit. Like, what are you talking about?
But.
So after Brooke dies, they declare time of death, and Margaret is like really annoying about it. She's like, wow, that was such a boring lethal injection. I would have paid good money to see her head roll. Which, Margaret doesn't have a grievance with Brooke. Brooke took the fall for everything. If everything, Margaret should like pity Brooke and be like, it's a shame I had to use one of you, you know? Like,
yeah.
Brooke was nothing but pleasant and mousy around. If anything, Margaret would be like, I see a little bit of myself in this lady, you know?
Yeah, like, they're acting like Brooke was, like, a thorn in her side, like, even, like, at the camp. And I'm like, she was, like, the one person who was following the rules when they were just camp counselors. Like, Margaret was like, don't have sex or do drugs or drink. And Brooke's like, herd chef. And everyone else was like, fuck you. Like, Brooke was, like, the one person who was, like, on board with Margaret's rules and, like, wasn't weird to Margaret. And by weird, I mean, like, normal. It's very, the only thing they could be implying here, and I do mean that, the only thing they could be implying here, I don't think they are intending to imply it, but because of their poor writing, it's the only thing that couldn't be inferred, is that she's mad she didn't get to kill Brooke, which is insane. An insane thing for, like, Margaret to be like, I wanted to kill Brooke. And it's like, you didn't even start this camp thing with the intention of killing people. It just started happening, and then you got, like, a taste of the juice, and you went, like, off the shits and started killing people for some reason. It's this very odd. Very, very odd. The whole sequence is very odd. Now it's time for the scene that Slow Beef titled the funniest possible thing that it could be titled. I'm thinking I'm back.
I'm thinking I'm back.
Yeah. What do you call it? We're at Blockbuster, Video Shack, and Jingles is at the counter, and this woman's complaining she rented Friday the 13th, Faces of Death, and not Nightmare on Elm Street, but in the boxes, there was Terms of Endearment, Mystic Pizza, and Tootsie, which is an obvious mistake, but Jingles is like, well, I don't think it's good for people to see horror and violence. It's like, dude, you can't just do that. Aren't you up for manager also? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? That's a terrible thing to do.
I'd be so fucking mad if I went to, a video store and I was like, you gave me the wrong videos. And they were like, yeah, we did that on purpose. We thought your choices were bad, so we did it on purpose.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? You can't do that. Also, hey, do you know what the VHS tapes tend to have printed on them? what movie they are. So, like, what if when they were walking out, they just opened the container and went, oh, this is Tootsie, and then turned around and walked back? What then, Hotshot? Where's the plan go from here?
Then they have to, like, start sweating and, like, tugging on their collar and being like, we only have Tootsie. And this is our biggest fatal flaw is we only have Tootsie.
I'm out of everything with Tootsie.
Or like they set up some watch party for their teenage like daughters or something and their friends. It's like, here's Mystic Pizza and it's actually Faces of Death, which is like a movie about fake snuff films, but marketed them as real, you know, like.
Incredible. Thank you, Mr. Jingles. Really, that's why he's up for manager. He's protecting the youth, ? I don't know. I think maybe I'm misremembering because I was like fairly like, not super young, but I was pretty young when video stores stopped being a thing. I got Netflix in the mail. And I vaguely remember that, like, if you rented something rated R, you, like, had to show an ID or a parent had to be present. So, like, is a teenager.
You know, they were kind of... So, okay, Mr. Jingles absolutely would have checked ID. The only like counter is that if you had another teenager working at Blockbuster, which you typically did, they were a little like whatever about it, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, definitely some anime they shouldn't be renting out to. I'm just gonna throw that out there, but whatever. Anyhow.
I was gonna say I remember getting so many mature rated games when I was like 11.
Yeah,
no one gave a fuck.
Games that nobody knew.
Gave a fuck.
Yeah, games nobody had any idea.
Conversely, like, yeah, sure. GameStop used to.
That's good for a 10-year-old, probably, right?
I got carded more at GameStop than I have at a bar ever in my entire life. I don't know what GameStop's weird like obsession with being like, this game is rated M, show me your ID. I was like, okay, dude. Like, I don't think it's illegal for me to play this.
I think they're probably protecting themselves because a lot of before, like, the video game industry became huge and could lobby politicians, it was like an easy industry scapegoat if there was a shooting. So there could be like, fucking video games, keep the, you know, and then, like, all these companies are like, we gotta do something to protect ourselves. So you have the ESRB, and then you have GameStop doing shit like that. And now it's just sort of like, now that they can pump Congress full of money. This is my, like, weird soapbox of video game politics, but, like, now it's like, oh, whatever. But, you know, anyway.
And I'm gonna use this as a jumping off point to mention something very funny that is horror-related, but not related to this specific episode, which is that the Halloween video game was just banned in Australia, not because of the murder, but because it has weed in it. And I think that's funny.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell fucking yeah. Yeah. Nice.
You can murder, but you can't smoke a weed. Michael Myers can kill like a whole family. Also, in case you're curious, smoking weed makes Michael Myers stronger in the video game. I just want to throw that out there. Yes.
Wow, great.
And
does it, is like just more resilient to damage? Or like how does it help? I gotta know.
Makes him better.
He thinks it's funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really gets a kick out of it. It helps restore his psyche.
To Jason, you ever kill anybody on weed? Or I guess motioning it with like a rebus and charades or something. But whatever.
Oh, Jason would never. Jason Voorhees would never smoke a weed. Never. That's once fair. In his life, Sloby.
That's fair.
Speaking of serial killers doing murders, it's raining Jingles. Again.
So... Yeah, Jingles comes home and there's a big downpour and he walks in and oh no, there's blood like everywhere, like to the point of like, did you get someone else's blood too? Like this is so much blood, holy shit. And Lorraine was murdered. It's a little unclear whether or not it actually was Ramirez, but she's super dead. There's blood everywhere, and I believe he finds a little sign that says like, Satan always collects, which like, was this alone? what do you mean collect? Like that's not you owe him your soul, so I killed your wife. Like, what the fuck do you mean? What kind of business deal is this?
I promised Satan your soul, so I get to kill your wife. That's how it works. I make all the rules here. And meanwhile, Satan's like, all right, buddy, you're making this way more complicated than it needs to be. You're getting me in a little bit of legal trouble here.
Fucking Ramirez again.
Just like, no, it's okay. I'm trading against murder futures. It'll be fine.
But Richard Ramirez didn't kill the baby. For like, I can only assume they did this to like because they're dumb or like pussies. I don't know, but like they're like, don't worry. The serial killer who, like, brutally kills people didn't kill the baby. It's fine. And I'm like, you could have just had him not have a baby. Like, you could have just, like, had him not have a baby, and this wouldn't be an issue.
We don't want to have too much of a downer on American Horror Story. Like,
well, there has to be something Mr. Jingles wants to protect. There's got to be some reason for him to finish the fight, Master Chief. And it's because he's got to protect his son,
and it obviously,
Donald Jr.
It obviously wouldn't be his whore wife, his whore prostitute slut wife, Lorraine. Yeah, obviously.
I'm kind of...
that she's worse than a serial killer, frankly.
I'm kind of glad she's dead. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
But
Richard Ramirez was doing everybody a favor. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kindest woman in the entire show. Get her in a fridge already, Jesus.
Yeah. Nicest, most caring, most understanding woman. Fuck this lady. Am I right?
I'm going to go with second most understanding woman, right? Because he takes the baby and sees the Camp Redwood Flyer, and then he goes to Lorraine's sister and just leaves the baby outside. She comes out and she's like, Don? He's like, yeah, your sister died. I thought I could have a life and somehow a normal life. And somehow she does not take that to be the most obvious thing. I killed her. You know, she's just like, okay, I'll take the baby. That's fine. You go do what you got to do. You know, and he's like, tell him I loved him more than anything, but I had to go to protect him to end this. And as you know correctly, Liz, Lorraine's sister has no follow-up to this or react. She's also like, well, it's good that one less ex-prostitute's in the world, I suppose. Time
yeah,
to take care
like,
of this.
Finally, someone killed my slutty sister. Thank
now
God.
I got it. Oh, boy, free baby. You know,
yeah. Like... I'm not going to tell the police about this. I think it's fine. I think it's good. He's done us a public service, frankly. He's got his keys.
Look at the, yeah, he's got the keys. Like, what keys? Like, these are just your keys now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not special. Like,
no one has keys besides this guy. That's why they call him Mr. Jingles.
They're playing the Kraft song, How Soon Is Now by the Smiths, which you know from you probably know from the movie The Kraft, or at least if you're my age, but applies to no one. But whatever. And then we go back to Brooke's body being wheeled out, and the executioner with all the, gives her an ejection, and she like awakens up and she takes off, and it's Rita, who's not Rita. Her name's Dee Dee, but Amazon at least keeps saying her name's Rita in the little x-ray thing. And it's like, that's right, she either switched out the execution chemicals with something else just to knock her out and that was it, or had an antidote, which could not possibly exist because it's three separate chemicals.
An antidote for a lethal injection is so crazy. It's like, yeah, we put in this stuff that stops all of your nerves from functioning, so your brain like doesn't send signals to like stay alive or breathe or like pump blood or whatever. That's okay. I got the opposite of that.
I got the one that makes your blood pump more. It's an
this
EpiPen.
Is called undo exine. We'll say, you know, it's control Z in a shot.
Even if they're going to be like,
this is my alive injection.
Yeah, the opposite of lethal. The only
this
thing
is actually a chemical version of the Satan one-up that Richard Ramirez has been wandering every time.
Yeah, you got it anyway. I know you said you didn't want it, but like I got it anyway.
And we got you the generic rather than the branded Satan version. So we figured
so you're not
that
beholden to him. You don't have to do what Satan wants. You just get to be alive again. Even if they're going to say, because I don't remember, I'll be totally real, because this is the last scene of the episode and it ends here as like another fucking cliffhanger starring not Rita, which is dumb. They might say in the next episode, I don't remember, something along the lines of like, oh, I actually swapped out the injections with this, and then that way I could give you an antidote for it. And I'm like, I don't think there's a... They do this in, like, House on a Haunted Hill, too, of just having a doctor nebulously be like, I put something in you that made you seem like you were dead, and now I have a shot that makes you not dead anymore. And I'm like, I don't think that exists. I don't think there's that's real.
The common myth one, I think it's DMT, but it's the pufferfish neurotoxin.
Oh.
It's in the movie The Serpent and the Rainbow, a couple other things, but like, it's it doesn't really do that, because obviously you need a heart and brain and a function and everything, right? But it produces this, like, coma-like state where you could be mistaken for dead if you, you know, weren't, like, with a doctor or someone who could actually check, you know?
Someone who just, like, put their ear close to your mouth and were like, there's still air flowing.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the, it's not DMT, it's like Tetra something zine.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, DMT is a great time. That's
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah, sorry. It was, yeah.
Yay, another reader reveal.
So
Tetradot.
We put the temporary knockout poison. What was it, Beef?
Tetrodotoxin, TTX.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, like, we put the temporary knockout juice in you that convinced everybody you were dead, and now I'm gonna wake you up in the mortuary where we're alone, and there's no other prison guy. How do they think Brooke gets out of here, is my other question. She's still in the prison, right? Like, if she started walking out, wouldn't a couple people be like, hey, wasn't that that lady that just got lethally injected?
Also, what did not Rita do, like, okay, I'm saying with my fingers crossed, they're going to give us a sequence that explains how not Rita got into the prison. They might not. I'm making this up. How did the real lethal injection provider not show up? What happened to them? Were they also shitting?
They were at a gas station, and Rita pulled up behind them at a gas station in the middle of nowhere.
People gotta stop doing,
like,
that.
Oh, I'm late to give this lady her lethal injection, and she was like, "Oh, that's tough stuff, buddy."
I can do it for you. Twice we've used a Rita reveal, a not Rita Rita reveal, as a cliffhanger. The thing about it is, like, I don't care. I don't care about Brooke.
Yeah. yeah.
I kind of...
Yeah, they keep forgetting that, like, Brooke has no characteristics so far. Like, her characteristics are, like, is hunted. That's about it. Like, is boring, is hunted. That's all we know about Brooke. So her surviving the lethal injection is just kind of like... I guess.
Okay, had sex like, with a ghost is pretty cool. Had sex with a ghost.
But, like, she didn't like it.
That's true.
She, like, was, like, really upset about it. That makes it way less cool, I think.
Yeah. Especially because he didn't know he was a ghost. Like, Brooke's just really not likable. It's one of those things where, like, it's fucked up that their writing is so bad to the point where I'm, like, kind of relieved on Brooke's behalf when she gets executed. Like, well, thank God she doesn't have to deal with this shit anymore. Only to find out, no, she still does. She's back. She's John Wick, and they've pulled her into a fifth movie. She has to come back for checks, notes, reason. Because we want her to? Question mark. It's fucked up that death doesn't even matter in not the ghost rules. It's just like in real life, death also doesn't matter because we can just undo your lethal injection.
She's the final girl, so there you go. They've already designated her, so that's how it goes, I guess.
So around the table, everyone, what's your favorite character? It can be alive, dead, ghost, whatever. What's the one character right now that when they show up on screen, you're kind of like, all right, maybe something's going to happen? Any
Pass.
Characters for y'all?
Pass.
Birdie.
No. I mean,
I was going to, for me, it's probably Donna, not Rita, not because like she's a good character or whatever, but because she brings this like real, I'm just doing shit energy to the room that I appreciate when like so much not is happening. And then you just see Donna and it's like, oh, what's this lady going to be up to? It's something bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, this implies that Rita's been alive this whole time and feels convicted enough to, like, make sure Brooke doesn't die after being, like, unjustly pinned these murders on her, like, means that at any given point, Rita, who was alive, could have just been like, hey, she didn't do it, to make sure that she just didn't get executed. Like, at this point, they only have one other testimony, and it's Margaret. So it's literally two versus one. Two people say, hey, it was Margaret, and one person says, it was Brooke, this lady who has no reason to have done any of these things. But Rita's like, no, I think it's cooler if I pretend to kill you and then bring you back. I have a dramatic flair. My dad loved killing people. I love the theater. That's really the takeaway from this.
Well.
Yeah. Well, next episode is... Sorry, I just saw the title. It's The Lady in White. We're going to do another... Can we do another wedding thing? Wait, who would...
It would have to be Brooke, right? That's all I can think of.
Married twice, baby!
What if Mr. Jingles gets married? What if Mr. Jingles gets down here and is like, you know what? This is stupid. I'm just going to settle down and have a different family.
I'm just going to start gonna a new family.
Another ex-prostitute.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Well, yeah, till next time, folks. Thank you for listening, and look forward to The Lady in White, where I legitimately am a little unclear which woman... Oh, it's going to be Margaret for some dumb reason, probably, yeah.
Great. Yep,
probably.
Till next time, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye. Bye.